welcome back. This is episode number 9. All right. Now, I keep calling myself Podcast Pat because I kind of like that. You know, but I did some research lately online, and there's a lot of people out there that call themselves not necessarily Podcast Pat, but they use that their name is Pat. Here's my podcast. You know, and I'm trying to think. I'm still on this quest, you guys. I've been buying a few domain names here and there. I bought hubashow.com. Obviously, I have podcastpat.com and a whole bunch of other ones. Actually, you know what I bought recently was podcasthost.net. Podcasthost.net. There's a lot of podcast domains out there that I've been gathering up and getting because podcasting is, I think, in the next 4 or 5 years, you're going to see people like me. There's going to be shows on TV. Not in a way that you think there's going to be shows. It's going to be like maybe your podcast vlog or your podcast will be on TV somehow. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't want to get off on a tangent here. The one thing I wanted to talk about first is this Fortnite player. He's 16 years old. His name is Kyle. And if I get the last name wrong, it looks like it might be German. Kyle Geiserdorf. He's 16 from Potts Grove, Pennsylvania. And he took home $3 million last Sunday after winning the Fortnite World Cup. Now, I grew up with video games. I was born in 77. So right around that time, you had Atari, Nintendo, Commodore 64. It was the brand new thing, aside from radio and television, that was emerging for people to do. Another avenue of entertainment. And I can remember having an Atari game or an Atari system and Commodore 64. We never had a Commodore, but some of my close friends did. And you had the big 3 1/4 inch floppies, and then you have the big floppies, you had the little floppies. They were more of a hard disk. So when I saw this, this is all tying into esports. Okay, esports is going to be huge. It is gaining a lot of steam. This was the first time, and I don't know anything about Fortnite. I've looked it up on YouTube and watched people play it. I don't understand it. In a nutshell, you're basically building forts faster than people can shoot you or hit you with an axe, and your fort acts as like your barrier between what's coming at you. You know, that's why the name Fortnite. I grew up with all kinds of video games. We'll get to the Nintendo. Oh my God, there's an unknown. Somebody has an unopened Nintendo system, and then there's a guy that has an unopened Nintendo game, Kid Icarus. We'll get to that in a few minutes. I can't wait to talk about it, 'cause this all ties into video games. Having grown up with video games and seeing how it's progressed over years, I'm always going to be a Nintendo guy. Straight up. In fact, back in 2009, I took some Christmas money that I had, and I think I had a gift certificate to Gamekeeper or one of these game places, right? So I go in there, and prior to this, I haven't bought a system in years, since I was a kid. All right, so this is going back 10 years ago. That would have put me at 32, and it was probably at least 20 years prior to that, when I made another purchase of another system. So anyway, so I go into the store, I look around at all the units in there, and I'm like, man, I'm getting excited, get to buy a video game again, a console, get back into the thing, you know, because I've been playing computer games for quite some time. I always kept going back to Counter-Strike. One of the first games that was multiplayer that I actually got to play with some of my friends on the street I grew up on was Duke Nukem 3D. And let me tell you something, that was like gaming gold. It was the first time that I can remember where you could play somebody else at another location, whether it's on your street, another part of the state, country, whatever, or world, all right? Instead of just playing you versus the computer. And it brought a whole new element to video gaming. All right? I can remember the magic of that happening. I can remember the disasters too, because this is in the dial-up days. You know, this is when the internet was just emerging, and all of a sudden Duke Nukem came out. You could play somebody. No way. Oh yeah, it was awesome. So there was fun parts to it, and there was not fun parts. The fun parts were being able to connect and play with your friends, and that the days of just playing the computer, but prior to that, that's all you had. When you bought a game, you sat down and it was multiplayer, but the other person had to be there. So this added a whole other dimension to playing video games that was really unique, and it was accepted very quickly, and that's why a lot of other games, if you look back in the history of gaming, developed from the internet emerging, and it's just explode. Today, it's like if you have a video game that isn't playable online with other people, you're not going to last long. In fact, one of my friends, he has a subscription to, what's it called now? It just escaped me. World of Warcraft, right? So World of Warcraft, I forget, it's like, I don't know, 10 bucks a month, 5 bucks a month, something like that. And it's an ever-growing map. You'll never repeat, or you'll never be able to finish the game. That's my understanding, because it keeps growing. It's growing like the universe, all right? So that's where we're at. It's things, as far as gaming goes, a lot of things have taken on these awesome shapes. In fact, in the future, I could see video games taking on a new dimension, like holographic games. You could play them at your kitchen table, and it looks like you have little men marching around, and you know, maybe a fighter jets, maybe there's a Top Gun coming out. Oh, we've got to talk about Top Gun movie coming out next year too. Oh my God, I got so many things to talk about, you guys. I've been real busy. I'm trying to do these podcasts every week. I'm going to get better at them, because I got everything set up now, so I can just sit down and do them rather than bringing the equipment out, setting it up, and all that stuff. So hopefully I'll be able to bang out more of these for you guys, because I know I got listeners all over the world. So we'll get back to this Fortnite kid. He's 16 years old from Pennsylvania. All right, his Fortnite name is Bugga. Bugga. Sounds like a rapper. Yo, it's Bugga. Anyway, this kid won the Fortnite World Championship, and that was held in New York. And now, when they panned around, it was inside of an arena. Okay, I felt like I was watching something from Total Recall. Remember that? What was it, 1988, 89 with Schwarzenegger? And there's some other movie, too. Oh, where were they panning around? Might have been like Hunger Games. Anyway, it's that arena feel and that arena effect. And the cameras were panning around the arena. There was thousands of people there watching, focused on this kid who's focused on his video game at the desk. And I'm just fascinated by that. I'm more fascinated by that than the amount of people that are watching him play, that actually bought tickets and showed up and paid all kinds of money and probably had hotel expenses. Who knows how long this went on for? It might have been like a 4 or 5 day event. You know, maybe it was all week long. I don't know. But anyway, you have people from all over the place coming, spending money and seeing this. And this is the start of esports. Has been around for a little while, but this is what you're going to see more and more of. All right. And I feel that you're going to probably have, maybe even during prime time hours on cable TV, World Series gaming esport championships that are going to be big. Oh, they're going to be so big. So this kid is 16 years old. He won $3 million. He was getting interviewed after he won. He's all excited. He obviously doesn't know the magnitude of how much money he actually won. And apparently, from what I remember in the article or in the interview, he practices like 8 hours a day. Plus, he goes to school. Obviously, he's in high school, you know. But this goes because when I was growing up, you know, we had parents that, you know, love seeing us play games and stuff. But they also there was a lot of parents out there that want to see your kid. You know, they don't want to. Well, you know, you always hear this. Well, you know, video games are never going to make a life for yourself, or you're not going to, you know, nobody's ever going to pay you to play video games. And that is completely false by all fashion today's standard. You've got kids that are like 16 or 18 years old making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month reviewing video games, having people watch them play. They've got these amazing video game console setups that look like something out of the CIA or something out of a movie. And they've got in camera, they've got like live like webcams on them, and they might even be doing a live podcast or whatever while they're playing. And they have enormous followings, and they all have these cool like little gamer names. I always like hearing cool gamer names. That's why when I saw this kid, Bugga, let me see how it's spelled here. I'm pretty sure, let's see, yeah, B-U-G-H-A, Bugha, Bugga. That's his name, Kyle Geiserdorf. Hope I'm saying that right. You know, and I guess more than 40 million players participated in the qualifying events for the final. For the final chance to get into the World Cup for Fortnite. And it's just amazing to me how many people play this game around the world. And this is obviously, now you've got parents saying, whoa, maybe my kid could make $3 million. And you know this is going to go up. Just like poker. Poker 15 or 20 years ago, it was a $1 million pot, right? You know, $1 million for the main event champ. Now it's exceeded anybody's expectations. It blew up like wildfire. Who would ever think that it would be so popular that we're giving away like $10 to $20 million for the main event champ in poker? And this is going to be the same thing. You're going to see these players bringing in tons of dough. For first place, obviously, you'll get more. Second place, third place, maybe even a fourth place or fifth place. A sixth place, probably get a ribbon. You know, or a new game controller. Thanks for playing. Insert coin to continue. But you have, now you've got parents. See, this is interesting because now you have parents that are like, you know, all they see is dollar signs now. Maybe my kid can make millions of dollars. Yeah, go ahead. You want to, what the hell? Go ahead, play 7 or 8 hours a day. And this brings me back to some fond memories that I had as a kid growing up. Not only were we playing video games, but we knew when to shut them off, all right? We knew when to shut them off, or we just got tired of playing, and we wanted to go outside and play games that were better, like hide and seek, tag, hide and seek on bicycles, which was very fun, by the way. We loved playing that at nighttime. You know, I grew up in a great neighborhood. We had a lot of great kids around here. It was a safe place to grow up. And it was nice and dark around here at nighttime. So if you want to play hide and seek on your bicycles up and down the street or around the block or whatever, you know, you had this big zone, you know, you wouldn't go past this street or this street, and you could hide anywhere like off the road, maybe behind a tree or bush or something. And we would just, that's what we would do. And we love that. I really want to see kids. I have a little girl. She's going to be 6 in October. Yes, she plays with the iPad. Okay. Yes, she plays with the phone. But one very important difference, I still teach her how to play hide and seek. I love playing hide and seek with her, taking her to parks, swimming. It's not just about computers. And you got to understand something. You know, kids like my little girl, they're growing up in an age where this is, all these prerequisites down the road. Well, you got to, they're not going to worry about that. They're going to know how to type. They're going to know how to operate electronics and multitask on a level that we probably won't ever understand, all right? So don't hold back. I never want to have technology absent from her life, because this is where we are in society, okay? This is just how it is. Video games, internet, cable TV, probably going by the wayside soon. You know, just a little thought on that. I feel cable companies waited too long to adjust their business model and their business plan and marketing strategies. And now you have people like myself, podcasters, vloggers, right? YouTube sensations, influencers on Instagram and Facebook. You only have so much time in the day for content, all right? If you want to listen to 15 or 20 podcasts, well, that's going to cut into your time turning the TV on. In fact, you might find people, maybe you find me really interesting. And maybe when you listen to my podcast during your free time, let's say you got free time, like, you know, after 8 o'clock at night. well, I might be pulling you away from a show that you could be DVRing, all right? Neat little feature. But you only have so much time in the day to read, listen, and watch. And that's just the way it is. All of us wish we had more time in our lives. Oh my God, can you imagine if a day was 48 hours? That'd be funny. All right, so we talked about Fortnite. I feel a lot of parents now are going to be, you know, seeing dollar signs. Hey, maybe you can really make a life out of video games. And I can remember Nintendo Power when that came out in the 80s. By the way, I still have, I don't want to have about probably 20, maybe 20 issues. I'll have to get those up. You know what I'll have to do? I think the next, because I'm so excited about the video game stuff. Not, like I said, I don't understand Fortnite to save my life. I don't get it, man. And I understand video games, but I just don't understand. I guess what it is, it's multiplayer, got big maps. But the premise behind it is that you got to build, when people are starting to encounter you, you have to build forts to stop them from hurting you in the game. I don't know why, at what point did somebody say, hey, let's have an option to throw up wood sticks and build concrete. And these things happen. I mean, I'm telling you, when you go to YouTube right now while you're listening to me, all right, and type in Fortnite players or Fortnite video game demonstrations or any such keyword like that, all right, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. These guys are playing games like lightning speed. I'm Nintendo era, all right? Commodore 64, PCs. It was slower then. Oh, and that's another thing I meant to tell you guys a little while ago. Back in 09, when I bought my console, I got sidetracked so easy, sorry. Back in 09, when I went into Gamekeeper, whatever the store was, I bought the Microsoft, I think it was an Xbox. I don't know what model number, but I know it was an Xbox, right? It came like two games, whatever. I bring it home, set it up, start playing it, and I'm like, man, this is really hard. Because I'm old school. I'm Nintendo-based, okay? I'm from the Nintendo era. You got a simple controller with A, B, start, select, and you got the up and down, left and right. And that's it. No buttons underneath, no buttons on the side, or, you know, switching a switch to make other buttons function better. I'm telling you, it was such a nightmare. I brought it home. I returned it the next day. I am not the kind of person that wants to play a video game and have to do a lot of combinations to execute one move. I hate it. I hate it. Can't stand it. It's too much, all right? Maybe because I'm not young anymore. You know, if I was like 9 or 10 years old, maybe I would get a kick out of it, or that's all I know. But that's not all I know, because I was an 80s kid and a 70s kid. Well, a 70s kid for 3 years. So the games that I was playing on the Xbox, they were too complicated. I don't want to sit there for, you know, 30 seconds to execute one move. You know? So I packed everything up, brought it back the next day. And I was in for, not a battle, but I knew there was going to be, it might be really difficult to return. Because it's already opened. You know, they've got signs there, open merchandise is not returnable, non-refundable, da-da-da. And I was really nice to I said, let me speak to the store manager. She got on the phone and I said, listen, I'm from the Nintendo era. All right. I would like to return this system that I bought. Nothing's damaged in it. The only thing I did was play some of it, and it's just too complicated for me. It's been too long since I bought a system. And I said, there's nothing on this box indicating how complicated it is to play this game. And I was very nice to her, and I said, listen, all right, because she, obviously, nobody really ever approached her with this kind of dilemma before, all right? Certainly, it's outside of the return policy as why you're returning it. I'm not returning it because I don't like it. I'm returning it because it's too complicated for me to play, and it didn't say on the box or anywhere in the store or anything that it takes so many button combinations to execute a move. So she thought that was really cute. And I said, listen, I just want to return it, or I'm sorry, I want to exchange it. I want to get the Nintendo Wii, and I'll buy one or two games, All right. So you're actually going to make more money. She said, okay, no problem. Let's do it. So that's what I did. I bought the Wii, or I exchanged it for the Wii. I think the Wii came with, I don't know, one, came with two controllers, I think, and one or two games, something like that. Maybe it was bowling. So I don't know. So I bought two more games, and I bought the, I bought Mario Kart and something else. And I bought the steering wheels that the little controllers went in. So they made out, everybody was happy. Got home, opened it up, happy as a clam, right? So that was the last system that I bought, the Nintendo Wii back in 2009, and I'm pretty sure it was out for maybe like a year before that. So it was really new, and I enjoyed it very much. But you have parents now that are really second-guessing whether or not gaming might not be so bad. Might not, you know, maybe little Johnny or little Samantha might have a future here. I'm not saying give up on school and have your kids play video games from the time they're able to walk and never read them a book or never take them outside. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that parents need to realize that we're not living in the 80s or 90s anymore. This is the information age on steroids. And people can make an honest living doing a podcast. Actually, you can become a millionaire doing podcasting. You know, buying and selling domain names. Playing video games, winning Fortnite. This kid's 16 years old. He's world famous. He probably has a YouTube channel. I actually didn't check into that, but I'm going to assume he does. And now that he won the championship of Fortnite, the World Cup, everybody in that gaming realm or those subscribers of Fortnite, they're going to be subscribing to his YouTube channel. Googling him, this kid is going to make like 10 times the amount of money that he won from playing Fortnite and winning. And that's fascinating. Good for him. I'm glad the kid's that rich now. I can't wait to see his system. He wants to buy a new gaming console, or not a console, a new desk and computers. It's going to be so high tech. You remember that movie Swordfish, Password Swordfish, with John Travolta and Halle Berry? There's a couple of parts in that where that shows the hacker dude sitting behind the computer with all these screens and these cool chairs and a big room. It's going to be like that, but much, much more flashier, more, what's that word I'm looking for? Plush. I guess that's the right word to use. So that'll be really cool. I'll have to do a follow-up story on him. The next thing I want to talk about is this. This is cool, you guys. Unopened Nintendo video game could sell for big bucks. Kid Icarus. And apparently there's only like 10 or 12 in known existence in the hands of collectors in the world. I find it hard to believe there's only about a dozen unopened. And it's so crazy, right? It's so crazy. This is how crazy it is. A friend of mine has Kid Icarus. It's opened. I believe he still plays it. Probably worth some money, right? But I never imagined in a million years that you would have people that have video games they never opened. Oh my God. My brother and I, we had so many video games growing up. One thing we didn't have though was a Game Boy. I always wanted the Game Boy. Never had the Game Boy. I think it was like $80, and I think the games were $20 a piece. And we had video game consoles here, like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, stuff like that, and games and all that stuff. So, you know, my parents couldn't really see getting it for us, even though we begged them, like, every Christmas. Santa never came through. Oh, didn't get us the Game Boy, portable Game Boy that we wanted in the late 80s, early 90s. Anyway, having a Nintendo system unopened with even the original receipt, probably came from JCPenney, you know, the catalog. Remember the catalog? Oh my God. The catalog, when the winter catalog came out, usually in September, oh man, it was like, you know what that is equivalent to? That's when the JCPenney catalog came out, you got to see all the cool toys that were coming for Christmas, man. You got to see all the new clothes and, oh my God, hypercolor shirts, you know? You put your hand on them for a few seconds, take it away. Your handprint's still there for about, I don't know, 10, 20 seconds. And then they had, you know, new types of skids. Remember skids? They were like MC Hammer pants. They were the ugliest thing in the world, but but they were on fire. Kids like me bought them. We wore them to school. So embarrassing. Oh, my God. 42, I can just barely admit it now that I wore skids. I think I actually wore like jogging pants type stuff until I was about 7th or 8th grade. And then I finally got into wearing jeans. Of course, I think one of the reasons why I never actually had jeans on much sooner before 7th or 8th grade, to school anyway, is because, you know what my size was? Husky. I was a husky size. And I think Wrangler made those or some brand like that. It wasn't Lee. I'm pretty sure it was Wrangler. You know, my parents would take us to Kmart and get our clothes and stuff. And then there was that whole Kmart. Oh, my God. All the Kmart peer pressure. Because when I was a kid in school, first, I don't even know where it came from. But you had people, kids, you know, a little bit of peer pressure and stuff. Would you buy your clothes at Kmart? You know, they wouldn't say that directly to me, but that it was just kind of like this stigmatism that kids, I don't even know where they got it from, but somewhere, somehow, Kmart became known as the cheap place to get clothes. Probably it was like during the Gap era, you know, and Old Navy, you know, there's other places to buy. Oh, you buy your clothes at Kmart? So you never wanted to be caught dead in school with a piece of clothing on that some kid could, you know, automatically find out right away if you bought it at Kmart or not. Of course, I was never smart enough at the time to say, well, how do you know it's from Kmart? That would be the most obvious question. You know, put him right back in his place, some little bully or something. Oh, it's so funny, you guys. Yep, husky size jeans. So that's probably why I didn't wear jeans until I was about 7th or 8th grade, because I just, you know, it was the peer pressure of saying, whoa, husky size. You know, what's that? It's like saying, hey, you know, we don't want to put that it's XL on there and you're, what, 14 years old, 15 years old. We're going to call it husky. We're going to disguise the fact that you're, you know, you got to slim down a little bit. So instead of putting a number on there of how big the jeans are or a waist size, we're just going to call it husky. That's probably what did it for me. So anyway, back to Nintendo. Where is it here? Unopened. Okay, here it is. An unopened copy of Nintendo's Kid Icarus, which, by the way, I never liked playing that game. I was never a fan of it. It just didn't do it for me. Let's see. It was released December 8th, 1988. It was discovered on somebody's... Where did he find this thing? Let's see. Where did he find this? I found it at his house or something. Anyway, it was discovered. You could now sell it for up to $10,000 in an online auction. If that's what they're getting for a game that's unopened, can you imagine how much an unopened original Nintendo Entertainment set could go for? And what I like about this is that the guy found the video game cartridge in its original bag. All right, so he bought it from JCPenney. And the receipt, and the original receipt, and the price of the game, take a guess what it was. $38.45. I would imagine that's after tax, because it was probably $35, from a JCPenney catalog department. It's incredible. It says, goes on to say here in the article, too, Nintendo developed its first multi-cartridge gaming system in 1983 with its near arcade quality games. And that was that's interesting, because I remember going to arcades as a kid. Parents would drop us off at the mall, which I would never do with my little girl today and her friends. But we were young. We were 7, 8 years old, maybe 6 years old. You know, my parents would drop us off with my brother and maybe a few of our friends, and we were told to just go to the arcade and we'd be back in an hour. Maybe they're going to get ice cream or shop at the mall, whatever. And we could go there and pump quarters or tokens. I always hated tokens because it was an extra step involved. You had to take your money, go to the token machine, get the tokens, and then go play video games. I just want to put quarters in the machine. So I'd like to know at what point that kind of phased out, you know? At what point did somebody say, hey, you know, let's do the token thing? Probably because they already got your money. So after you get there, if you, you know, some machines took three three coins to play the game. So maybe if you actually, you know what, it's probably a little tactic. Probably like, you know, if you had three or four coins, or let's say you had one coin left over, and none of the games, none of the arcade games took one token, then that was your ticket to come back. It burned a hole in your pocket. You looked at it all week long until your parents dropped you and your buddies off, or your family or brother back off the arcade to play and spend that last one, or have it join another handful of tokens that you're going to get. Article goes on to say that Nintendo developed, it developed the first multi-cartridge gaming system in 1983 with its near arcade quality games. In 1985, the company released Super Mario Brothers. Wow. It was 1985. Jeez, I thought it was a little earlier than that. But anyway, it was a sequel to the 1983 Mario Brothers game. So Super Mario came out in 85, and original Mario, which was included with Duck Hunt, all right, it was a split. It actually, there are, and I'm pretty sure I remember this, there are Nintendo consoles that came with two cartridges. One was Mario, and one was Duck Hunt. And then, somehow, I believe they were able to put it on one cartridge. I don't know what year that happened, but I'm pretty sure. I'll have to consult with a friend of mine who's up on all this stuff. I'll have to ask him, you know, because I remember that. I remember seeing it in the stores and stuff. Kmart, KB Toys, Caldor, JCPenney, all right? And, you know, it became one of the best-selling video games of all time. And there are entire generations of gamers that are wrapped around Super Mario Brothers or the Mario Brothers adventures with Nintendo. One of the greatest games you'll ever play. Mario Brothers, have countless hours when I was a kid. I played it just last year with a friend of mine at his house. He had his Nintendo hooked up. It was so cool. Brought back a lot of memories. So anyway, hey, we'll wrap up the show. I'll look at a few other things. We'll have to talk. You know what we got to talk about next time? We're going to have to talk about these. And I don't like talking about food all the time. But just the other night, for whatever reason, why are companies doing this to us? Mustard ice cream and hot dog flavored ice cream sandwiches. The only thing I can think of is that brands that might not have attention, that haven't had attention in quite some time, the only way to get attention from people is to just walk the plank like this. All of a sudden, French's mustard sales are probably going through the roof. Oh, yeah, you know, I haven't put mustard in a while. And now people are talking about mustard-flavored ice cream. I don't even want to go down that road right now. I don't want to ruin the video game feel I just gave you guys, all right? Thank you for tuning in. Again, you can send me an email if you want me to talk about something on the show. HubaStudios@gmail.com. Visit me on the web, podcastpat.com or hubashow.com, all right? Not sure what my name is really going to be in the future here. I like Podcast Pat, but I need something more original. I've got some ideas floating around, so we'll see what comes of it. Thank you for tuning in, and take care.